This week on Minnesota Native News, we hear about the debate at the state capitol over curbing mining emissions to protect wild rice.
Minnesota Native News is produced by Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, made possible by funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
This is Minnesota Native News. I'm Marie Rock. A number of people are speaking up about a bill in the State House of Representatives that would prohibit authorities from enforcing sulfate limits in waterways that support wild rice. Scientific studies indicate high sulfate levels in surface water can kill wild rice beds. The issue is of particular importance to many of the Ojibwe tribes in the state. Reporter Melissa Townsend has the story.
According to historical record, Anishinaabe people traveled from the East Coast to the Midwest because of a prophecy that said they should go where food grows on water. They traveled and found wild rice beds on land, some of which later became Minnesota. Wild rice has always been important to Anishinaabe or Ojibwe people for reasons that are cultural, spiritual, and economic. Net Lake in far northern Minnesota is known as the largest natural wild rice lake in the country. It's located within the boundaries of the Boys Fort Reservation. Boys Fort Chairman Kevin Lisi described the annual harvest to me.
First of all, we have a ceremonial harvest where a spiritual and elders go out and do a small ceremonial harvest. Next, we'll open it up for sustenance harvesting and then begin the purchase of rice from band members to provide an economic opportunity for individual band members. But we also do it to use the rice in our retail operations and our businesses.
Rice harvests have been decreasing over the years, and some band members are concerned it's because of pollution from mining operations on the range. They worry that mining expansion will make the situation worse. They're not the only ones. Scientific studies indicate high sulfate levels in mining wastewater kills wild rice beds downstream. State regulation limits sulfate to 10 milliliters per 1 million liters of water. But while that regulation has been in place for 40 years, it's never been enforced by the state. Now, a bill in the House of Representatives will prohibit state agencies from trying to enforce the standard. Mining companies and some legislators who support the bill say the science is bogus, and it's unclear how and where the state would enforce sulfate limits. Christy Bartovich, director of environment with the MinTech and KeyTech ore operations, testified at the House hearing last week.
We're willing to spend money when there's a clear understanding of what the requirements are and the science behind those requirements is sound. This is not the case with the wild rice sulfate standard. The process has not been followed to establish criteria and designate the waters for which the use exists.
Designating wild rice waterways could be a contentious process. For one, will there be an effort to resuscitate the waters that used to bear wild rice? Winona LaDuke asked that question in her testimony in front of the House committee.
If you destroy the rice bed, does it no longer exist? If you say the same thing about trout and there's only four trout left in the river because the Kalamazoo spill, is it no longer a trout river? How is it that that is determined?
But Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Assistant Commissioner Rebecca Flood says the agency can have a draft list of waterways ready by the end of this month. And she says it's in the mining industry's best interest to enforce the 10 parts per million rule without delay. Why? Because she says abandoning the sulfate standard would be in violation of the federal Clean Water Act, enforced by the Environmental Protection Agency.
If the EPA objects to a permit that a state is planning to issue, regardless of what the issue is, the state cannot move forward with the issuance of that permit.
It's unclear if the EPA would step in to enforce the 10 parts per million standard. And if both the EPA and state continue to ignore the sulfate limit, each tribe would be on its own to find a way to protect wild rice beds. Kevin Lisi, head of the Boys Fort Band of Ojibwe, says the band's economic health requires a balancing act.
We also have several businesses that are profitable because of the northeastern Minnesota economic situation. In fact, our largest operation, the Fortune Bay Resort Casino, depends on a number of guests coming through.
Lisi says he needs to both protect wild rice and work with industry on the range. For Minnesota Native News, I'm Melissa Townsend.
This is Minnesota Native News. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at MN Native News.